थान्द्रमाद्ये रूप सनातन बाद सखा अनुपम जीव रजेन्द्रादि उपासका. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub branches. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is here referring to Srila Jiva Goswami as a branch, a sub-branch coming from that great principal branch of Sri Rupa and Sanatan on the tree of the great devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, in the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika by Kavi Karnapur, Jiva Goswami is described to be the incarnation of Vilas Manjari, one of the most prominent gopi assistants of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. The Bhakti Ratnakar describes briefly the life of Srila Jiva Goswami. There we find that he was the son of Anupam, or also known as Ballabha, who was the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. The three brothers, as we know, were engaged by the Nawab Husain Shah in ruling the state of Bengal, and the capital was of the name Ramakeli. So of course these three brothers, they were of the Brahmin caste, originally from the Karnataka state, and for generations Rup Sanatan and Anupam were very much bereaved at the thought that they were assisting this tyrant dictator, Nawab Husain Shah. But due to political purposes, they really had no choice, because if they had not, the Nawab Husain Shah would have terribly persecuted all of the Hindus and the Vaishnavas. But it is described that Rup Sanatan and Anupam were always engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Rup and Sanatan were very, very great, great devotee servants of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And in their homes in Ramakeli, they had beautiful temples of Radha and Krishna. They had created beautiful gardens that they named Vrindavan, where they would go to meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and serve the beautiful Leela of Radha and Krishna. Meanwhile, their brother Anupam, he was a very, very great devotee of Sri Ramchandra. But being the youngest brother, he was always a very faithful, devoted servant of Rupa and Sanatan. So at one time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was invited by letter by Rupa and Sanatan to help them in their to solve their great dilemma of what to do with their life, he went to Ramakeli. When he arrived in Ramakeli Dham, there were many hundreds, thousands of people who were joining him in his wonderful kirtan. This was en route to Vrindavan. The Nawab Husain Shah heard and approached Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam and said that, "I have heard that a great Hindu mystic, he is so beautiful, so wonderful, he is performing the chanting of the holy name, and thousands upon thousands of people are attracted to join with him. Perhaps he is the supreme personality of Godhead." Now Rupa and Sanatan, they knew the vicious heart of the Nawab Husain Shah. So they told him that, no, he is not a very important person. We have looked into him. Not so many people are coming to follow him. So in this way, you should not bother your mind thinking of him. But late that night, Rup Sanatan and Anupam, they disguised themselves and secretly went to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. When they arrived, they were greeted by Srila Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. And then they were brought to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Gaurachandra. And they prostrated themselves in full humility and submission before the Lord and surrendered their lives utterly. And they spoke with such humility, such devotion, although such great scholars and such great statesmen and so full of all material opulences, they presented themselves as the most wicked, the most fallen, the most degraded, and the most hopeless. Lower than Jagai and Madhai, they said. Because even Jagai and Madhai, although they committed so many immoral activities, they never became the obedient servants of a meat eater and an outcast like the Nala. So they presented before the Lord that we have no hope other than your mercy. Because you are Patita Pavana Avatar, we are longing for the shelter of your lotus feet. Please deliver us from our fallen condition. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears of love in his eyes, he embraced them. Because of their humility, he won their hearts. In fact, he told them that, stop speaking this way, your humility is breaking my heart. And he accepted them as his own dear servants. Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik was their names under the Muslim rule. He gave them the names Rup and Sanatani, Anupam. In this way, they were very, very grateful upon receiving the mercy of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the three brothers that they should quit their government service and they should come to Vrindavan. Now during this whole exchange, according to the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti, Jiva, who was a very, very tiny little boy, young child, the son of Anupam, he followed his father and his uncles, and he was standing outside watching this whole loving transaction that took place between his father, uncles, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was at that time, upon hearing their words and seeing the beauty of Sri Gaurachandra, that he became completely detached from any material aspiration in life and simply wanted to follow his uncle and follow his father to Vrindavan and there meet the beautiful golden form of Sri Gaurachandra. So when he was a little boy, he was so much immersed always in bhakti. It is described that he just cared nothing for playing games with other children, cared nothing for getting attention from elders. He only wanted to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he would make with his own hands little deities of Krishna and Balaram. And he would spend the day offering obeisances to them. And when he would bow down, he would weep in ecstatic love. And then he would gather flowers and gather incense, and he would gather foodstuffs, and he would just simply serve his deities. He would dance before them, he would chant before them, he would offer them arti, he would offer them food, he would gather all of his friends together, he would distribute the prasad of Krishna Balaram to his friends. This way, the people who would see him, they were struck with wonder. They were all thinking, such a small child, certainly he is only playing. They did not know that he was absorbed in his eternal lila of loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as we know, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they left Ramakeli and they went to Vrindavan. But when they arrived in Vrindavan, they had found that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already been there and had gone back to Jagannath Puri. So together they walked to Jagannath Puri. And they came as far as Bengal. And on the banks of the Ganges, Sri Anupam, the father of Jiva, left this mortal world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was explaining to Sanatan Goswami, actually, Sanatan Goswami was explaining to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he heard the news about Anupam's passing from this world. He described how that Rupa Goswami and I, we were always trying to urge him to take to the worship of Radha and Krishna. But he was always so attached in his devotion to Sri Ramchandraji. In this way, we would tell him that do not you know that Krishna is the source of all incarnations? He is the absolute supreme person. And Ram and all other avatars are expansions, manifestations of him. And the Leela of Radha and Krishna, it is the most full, it is the most sweet, it is the supreme Leela of the Lord. It includes all the rasas of every other Leela. In this way, in so many ways, we tried to encourage him to be initiated in the name of Sri Krishna. So Anupam, he said, yes, you are my brothers. I accept you as my guru. Please initiate me in Krishna's name. And we initiated Anupam in Krishna's name. But the next morning he came to us weeping and crying, saying that I have wept all night long because every time I try to chant the name of Krishna, only the name Ram can come from my mouth. I have sold my head to the lotus feet of Ramchandra, and I cannot take it back for anyone else. Please forgive me. What should I do? Perhaps I should commit suicide. I cannot follow your order. At that time, Rupa and Sanatan embraced him and were very proud, very pleased to see the chastity in his love for Sri Ramchandraji. But at the time when this great soul Anupam left this world and returned to the eternal abode of Sri Ramchandra, Jiva Goswami, when the news came to him that his father had left, he wept bitterly in separation from this great Vaishnava. And at that time, he just had absolute distaste for anything of this material world. Although, factually, his parents, his mother, was living in royalty, he didn't care for any of it. He couldn't tolerate listening to any topic of anything of this world. He only wanted to hear at all times the beautiful glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. He didn't care for any of the pleasures any of the securities that everyone is so inclined toward in this world. He was one-pointed in his determination and his desire to simply leave his home forever and go to Vrindavan to join Rupa and Sanatan. But he was young, and his mother was very attached to him. As he was growing a little older, his life and soul was simply Krishna and Balaram. Worship them throughout the day, and it is described that when it was time to go to sleep at night, he would just tightly embrace them and sleep with them in his arms. He, 24 hours a day, was never separated from his beloved lords, Krishna and Balaramji. And one night, while he was laying, embracing their lordships, he had a beautiful dream. And in this dream, he saw wonderful, wonderful Sankirtan. Thousands and thousands of people were chanting. And there in the middle of the chanting was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing in divine ecstasy with Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Srivas, Gadadhar. They were all dancing together, tumultuously chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as he was seeing this, he was just struck with wonder. He was in great, great ecstasy. Yet then the dream broke, and he woke up very much disappointed that, where is my lords? Where is this wonderful kirtan? And then again he fell asleep, and just before him, the beautiful forms of Krishna Balaram, his deities, appeared. And he saw Krishna Balaram standing before him, bestowing their merciful glance upon him. And he fell at their lotus feet and began to worship them with great devotion. And then he looked at their beautiful forms, and right before his eyes, Lord Krishna transformed into the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Sri Balaramji appeared as his worshipable deity, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In this way, he was choked up in ecstatic emotion, and he had, by the grace of the Lord, the full realization that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were none different than his own worshipable lordships, Sri Krishna Balaram. And when that dream broke and he woke, he was simply weeping and weeping and weeping for the opportunity to have the beautiful darshan of Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda. And he would spend practically the whole day either in worshiping their lordships or studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had no interest in anything else or anyone else. So in great anticipation, although he was very young, he convinced his mother to allow him to visit their native place. I think it was called Fatehpur. And she agreed. And she allocated one boatman to take him there. But Jiva was very clever and convinced the boatman to take him to Navadweep instead. And when he arrived in Navadweep, there, he understood that Nityananda Prabhu was residing. And in Navadweep, he was just approaching in great expectation to see the divine lotus feet of the Lord. And he approached the house of Srivas Thakur after inquiring, where is Nityananda to be found? And there he saw Sri Nityananda Prabhu sitting, waiting to bestow his mercy upon him. And he surrendered his life at the feet of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda put his beautiful lotus feet upon the head of Jiva. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu, out of his causeless mercy, decided to take Jiva Goswami to all the holy places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. He took him first to the house of Sachi Mata. First, actually, he took him to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then to the house of Sachi Mata. And there he met Sachi Devi, and he met Vishnu Priya. And they were so happy to meet him because they had already been given a vision by the Supreme Lord Sri Gaurachandra that his dear associate, his eternal associate, would be coming. And Vishnu Priya and Sachi Mata, although plunged in an ocean of grief because of the separation they were feeling from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had recently left this world, they cooked with their own hands delicious prasad for the pleasure of Jiva. And in this way, Lord Nityananda, along with the personal servant of Sachi Mata, his name was Bamsi Vadana, they traveled to all the 9 islands of Navadweep. And Nityananda Prabhu was personally explaining the significance of each place. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written a book describing this great dialogue between Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami. He has entitled his book, The Sri Navadweep Dham Mahatma. It's a beautiful book. There is English translation also, which describes all the various places that Nityananda took Jiva Goswami and the wonderful manifestations of ecstatic love that were experienced in these various places. At times, right before their very eyes, the wonderful Sankirtan became manifested to them. They saw Mahaprabhu and all of their associates dancing and chanting together through the streets of Navadvipa. Nityananda Prabhu gave Jiva Goswami this vision. After the parikram, Sri Nityananda Prabhu told Jiva Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially given Vrindavan to your family. Rupa and Sanatana are there, and you should go there and join them. But first you should go to Varanasi. There was a great scholar there, Madhu Sudan Vachaspati. He is a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And you should learn Sanskrit, and you should learn to study the scripture from him. He is the greatest teacher in this regard in all the world. So Jiva Goswami took leave from Sri Nityananda Prabhu and the residents of Navadvipa, and he went to the holy city of Varanasi. And there he studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And he was so brilliant that he would just grasp the essence of all of the teachings so readily that he soon surpassed all other scholars in Banaras. In fact, all other scholars in the whole world. And Madhusudan Vachaspati would regularly, he would tell all the people that there is no greater philosopher, there is no greater scholar in all directions than this Jiva Goswami. So after his studies were complete, Jiva Goswami, with great, great anticipation of love in his heart, made his most celebrated journey to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it is described that when he arrived in Vrindavan, Rup, Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, Lokanath Goswami, Bhuvakarbha Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, all of these great, great acharyas, they were all standing there waiting for him to greet him. And they greeted him with such love, such devotion. Jiva Goswami approached Sanatan, who was his eldest uncle, and asked him if he would give him initiation, accept him as a disciple. But Sanatan Goswami, in his natural humility, in out of a certain type of etiquette, he told him that you should approach Rupa Goswami to be your guru. So he approached Srila Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, out of great love, he told Jiva that it is not such an easy thing to accept initiation from a spiritual master. He said, first you have to prove yourself to be sincere. And he engaged him in all sorts of very, very, very humble menial service. He engaged him in cleaning the temple. He engaged him in washing the vessels. He engaged him in preparing the arti paraphernalia for the pujaris. He was engaged in picking flowers, making garlands, in washing the clothes of his Gurudev, in massaging the lotus feet of his Gurudev. In this way, he performed for over one full year the most menial types of service to his Guru and the Vaishnavas. And Rupa Goswami was so pleased by his humility, by his submissiveness, and by his deep desire to be Krishna conscious, that Rupa Goswami initiated him and accepted him as a disciple. In this way, they lived together in Vrindavan. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami loved Jiva so much that at one time Rupa Goswami, he carved with his own hand a beautiful deity of Krishna. And he called these deities Radha Damodar. And out of love, he gave as a gift to Jiva Goswami these deities. And Jiva Goswami accepted Radha Damodar as his life and soul and worshipped them as such. It is described that Jiva Goswami had such unique one-pointed devotion to Rupa and Sanatan. One time, there was a great scholar. His name was Rupa Narayan. He was also known as Digvijay because he was very proud, but extremely learned in the scripture. And he went to every holy place in India, defeating every scholar there in debate. And whoever he would defeat, he made them sign that I have been defeated by Rupa Narayan, the great Digvijay. In this way, he had the signatures of practically all of the great personalities and all the great learned gurus and acharyas and scholars in all of India. But last, he came to Vrindavan, and he heard that the most famous scholars and devotees in all of Vrindavan were Rupa and Sanatan. So he approached Rupa and Sanatan. He said, I want to challenge you to a debate. No one can conquer me. Rupa Sanatan, they said, we are not very learned. Why should you waste your time debating us? We accept defeat. You accept defeat, you sign this. They signed. We have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. They didn't care anything about their prestige. But he heard that Jiva Goswami, who was a student of Rupa and Sanatan, was equal in all respects to them. And if he defeated Jiva Goswami, then there was no one else to be defeated. So he approached Jiva Goswami, and he said, I have defeated your two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. He said, impossible. No one can defeat them. I have their signature right here. And when he saw this signature, he understood that Rupa and Sanatan, out of their great humility, they have signed, and this person he is misusing. He will insult the dignity and the integrity of their name, and in this way he will minimize the whole dignity of Vaishnavism. Jiva Goswami said, I will accept your challenge. And for 7 days on the bank of the Jamuna, they argued. And alas, Jiva Goswami utterly defeated Rupa Narayan. And he was so shamed by being defeated so disgracefully that he just not saying anything to anyone, he just quietly, secretly left Vrindavan forever. So meanwhile, Jiva Goswami, he came back and told Rupa and Sanatan what had happened. And Rupa Goswami, his Gurudev, became very disturbed with him. He said, "You have transgressed the principles of Vaishnava humility. Out of pride, you engaged in this useless debate with this materialistic person. And a person who does not practice the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinarapi Suniche Natarorapi Sahishna Na Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, they cannot remain in Vrindavan. So you must leave our association and you must leave Vrindavan on this very day. You have created a great offense." So Jiva Goswami, he was so humble and so sincere that although he knew in his heart that he did not do it out of pride, he simply did it to protect his own Guru Maharaj and the dignity of his name. Still, Rupa Goswami said that you are proud, you are undeserving to live in Vrindavan, you must leave. He accepted, if this is what my Gurudev says, this is true. That I'm a terribly sinful person, pride is contaminating my heart, and I must leave Vrindavan to perform tapasya. Of course, foolish critics criticize Jiva Goswami for doing this. They say that he transgressed the principles of Vaishnava etiquette in humility by accepting this challenge and engaging in the debate. But the great acharyas understand that this was a divine lila, because even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, and respect to himself. But when another Vaishnav was being minimized or offended, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become like fire to defend them. When Ramchandra Puri was insulting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was accepting that whatever he says is true. And he was very humble. But when Jagai and Madhai committed that offense against Lord Nityananda, he approached them with fire in his eyes, ready to kill them, to destroy them. So in this way, Jiva Goswami was really and truly following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Rupa Goswami, he chastised him in this way, really for the purpose of glorifying him for all the time to come. This is the extent of his humility. Even though he was acting with such humility and acting so selflessly, when he's being told that he was totally proud and selfish about his acts, he accepted it. Such an extent of humility we cannot understand with our mortal brains. So in this way, Rupa Goswami wanted to glorify the true power of Jiva Goswami's devotion. But in the meanwhile, Jiva Goswami went to Mathura, and he was living there, weeping, crying, chanting, trying to atone for his offense. But Sanatan was very merciful and very kind and knew the hearts of his brother. So he went to Mathura, and he brought Jiva back. And he told Rupa that, you know, you have misunderstood one of the most important principles of Sri Chaitanya's teachings. Now, some big acharya is told by somebody that you don't understand the basic principles of your predecessor teachers. Most people would say, what are you talking? Of course I know, I have studied, I have learned, I have written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, Rupa Goswami, very humble, he says, there's something I've misunderstood. Please instruct me. What is it I have misunderstood? Sanatan said, you delineate, what are the principal teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Rupa Goswami, with great humility, he began to narrate them. And finally, he came to Jiva Doi, which means compassion to all jivas. And when he said it, Sanatan didn't even have to say anything. Just by his glance, Rupa Goswami, upon saying Jiva Doi and looking at Sanatan, he understood what he meant. Jiva Doi means compassion to jivas, that I should be compassionate to our jiva. So then Rupa Goswami embraced Jiva Goswami and accepted him back in their congregation of the Vrindavan Goswamis. It is described that he established the Radha Damodar temple. And during the time of Rupa and Sanatan and the other Goswamis, this became their base. The place of Jiva Goswami is the place where they would meet almost every day. They would discuss the beautiful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Leela of Radha and Krishna. They would discuss very profusely their various plans, what books to write, how to propagate this great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. This was their center place. And daily they would also, all the Goswamis would come together at Jiva Goswami's Radha Damodar temple to take Krishna's prasad. And they would have wonderful kirtans. And it is the heart of Vrindavan for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because it was the heart of the activities of the six Goswamis. In fact, our own Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he chose two rooms in the Radha Damodar temple where he spent 6 years of his life, because he knew that of all the Goswamis, no one had produced so many transcendental literatures to establish the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than Jiva Goswami. And it is also the place Jiva Goswami, when Rupa Goswami left his body was put into a samadhi right in the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple of Jiva Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking, there is no more important place to receive the blessings of these great Goswamis, to prepare myself for my worldwide mission of preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. After Rupa and Sanatan had left this world, Jiva Goswami was appointed to be the chief acharya of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas worldwide. And although there were so many men who were senior to him in age and in rank, because Rupa and Sanatan desired that he take this position, and because of his own divine qualifications, everyone unanimously, with such love and respect, accepted Jiva Goswami as the leader of all the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes call him the commander in chief of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it is described at that time, many people accept, many historians of the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, that the Emperor Akbar, he had heard about the wonderful, illustrious life and teachings of Jiva Goswami. And he personally came to Vrindavan and met with Jiva Goswami and was given divine vision of the sanctity of that place in Nidivan. And in this way, he became very much appreciative and inspired by Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And one of the assistants of Akbar, who was a wealthy man, he was appointed to help Jiva Goswami to renovate Vrindavan in many ways. So one of the first things that Jiva Goswami asked for is, in the Radha Damodar temple, he wanted to build a library where he could store all the great Vaishnav literatures. Because you know, in those days, there was no printing presses, there was no paper and pencils. The six Goswamis were writing on palm leaves, just carving, etching their beautiful words in palm leaves and making them into little books. Actually, they became big books. And Jiva Goswami had all of the original manuscripts of all of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Plus, he had a very vast collection of the various Vedic literatures on palm leaves. So he made a library, a place to preserve the essential teachings of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was the first library in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where all of the great writings were being protected. It is described that the consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Janava Devi, she brought a number of followers on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. And there she was greeted by the leader of all the Vaishnavas, Srila Jiva Goswami. And she appealed to Jiva Goswami at that time that all of these great transcendental literatures of the Goswamijis and the great saints of Vrindavan, even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami had that, he had all of the literatures in his library. She said, the devotees in Bengal and Orissa, we're starving. We have no literature. We have nothing. All of you are here in Vrindavan. And she appealed to him, please send some of your preachers to Bengal and Orissa with these books to enliven all of the devotees there. We are drying up due to lack of association. So on the command of Janavi Devi, Jiva Goswami made this resolution in his mind. It was about at that time that Srinivas Acharya, whose name actually was Srinivas, Srinivas came to Vrindavan. He accepted, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a dream, he accepted Gopal Bhatta Goswami as his guru. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he initiated him, but then he told him that you should study under Jiva Goswami. And later on, Jiva Goswami gave him the name Srinivas Acharya. And then Narottam Das, he came to Vrindavan, and by his natural affection, he accepted Lokanath Goswami as his guru. And he served him for some time with great devotion. But then Lokanath Goswami told him that you should accept Jiva Goswami as your Shiksha Guru, and you should live with him, be trained under him, and study under him. So Narottam Das went and he accepted the shelter of Jiva Goswami's lotus feet. And later on, Jiva Goswami named him Narottam Das Thakur Mahashai. And then another great Vaishnav was sent from Orissa. His name was Duki Krishna. And he came under the instruction of his Gurudev, whose name was Hridoy Chaitanya. Hridoy Chaitanya especially sent him, although he trained him to a large extent in Krishna consciousness. He said, for first class best training, you should go to Vrindavan and you should train under Jiva Goswami and accept him as your Shiksha Guru. So Duki Krishna came to Vrindavan, and later on Jiva Goswami gave him the name Shyamananda. So, Jiva Goswami had many, many, many sincere students. But of them, these three were super excellent in their ability to learn his lessons, to sincerely serve him, and to really grasp the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So on the request of Janavi Devi, Jiva Goswami sent Narottam Das, Srinivas, and Shyamananda to Bengal and Orissa to preach the teachings of Rupa and Sanatana. And what he did is he took the original manuscripts of all of the books of the Goswamis, as well as Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and he put them in a case and put it on an ox cart and sent them off to Bengal and Orissa. This was the great mercy and compassion and the great sacrifice of Srila Jiva Goswami. And of course, there was just a great, great, great renaissance in Gaudiya Vaishnavism in all of Bengal and Orissa by the preaching of Narottam, Srinivas, and Shamananda. They literally, millions and millions of people were taking to the chanting of the holy name and taking to the worship of Gaur-Nitai. And we all know that it was all by the divine instruction and the divine training of Jiva Goswami that this had all taken place. So, Jiva Goswami, he is most noted for his prolific writings of the philosophical truths of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Jiva Goswami, we learn from our previous acharyas, that he had written over 400,000 Sanskrit slokas, which are to be found in over 25 books. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the Jiva Goswami. Of all the Goswamis, he was the most systematic. He took all the teachings of all the other Goswamis and he very, very, very systematically commented on their teachings, explained the philosophy in such irrefutable terms, and systematically taught people how to distribute this divine message to others. Srila Prabhupada used to say that of all philosophies, the philosophy of the Gaudiya Vaishnava is supreme. And of all philosophers within the Gaudiya Vaishnava system, Jiva Goswami is supreme. In fact, he is the supreme philosopher in the history of the world. And of course, the books that we read by Srila Prabhupada, they are all divine extractions from the great works of such an acharya as Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada explains, and he explains it for the purpose of warning us, that sahajiyas level various accusations against Jiva Goswami. And I have even heard some of our own senior devotees stating some of these accusations as if they were facts. So we should know from our own acharyas what is the truth in all of these matters. One accusation against Jiva Goswami is that he transgressed the principle of Vaishnava humility by arguing with Rupa Narayan, which we have explained. Another is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was actually very senior to Jiva Goswami, when Jiva Goswami came to Vrindavan, he was only 20 years old. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had gone to Vrindavan, he was in his 90s when he came there, and he was already there for many years. But still, Jiva Goswami was considered the leader of the Vaishnavas, and he had written so many wonderful books of philosophy. So when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami finally, after so much painstaking devotional efforts, he completed this most illustrious work of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he came and presented it to Jiva Goswami. And what the Sahajiyas claim is that Jiva Goswami saw that this work is so great, it is so wonderful, that it would minimize his own works. So he threw the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a well to destroy it. And right at that very moment, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a heart attack and died. But somehow or other, somebody rescued that and secretly and rewrote it. But according to the true Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, that these sahajas who say this, they are simply envious rascals. There is absolutely not even a trace of any historical evidence anywhere of this. But rather, Prabhupada says that fortunately a copy of the manuscript of Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish as a book. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against Guru and Vaishnav. Such a story should never be accepted as authoritative. And another accusation against Jiva Goswami is that he did not approve of the principles of Parakiya Ras. But actually it is described that at the time of Srila Jiva Goswami, there were many of his own disciples, as well as many people in general, who very much could not understand Parakiya Ras. That Radha and Krishna were having love affairs as paramours. And also, Jiva Goswami could see that it was becoming fashionable amongst sahajyas to start having their devotional sadhana by pretending to be in Parakiya Ras. So he saw that this Parakiya Ras, when it is misunderstood in wrong hands, it is terribly dangerous. And also to many sincere people, they just could not accept Radha and Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead under these circumstances of apparent immorality. So what Jiva Goswami did is he wrote in great support of Swakiya Ras, that Radha and Krishna were actually married. But although he did that according to time and circumstance to try to give credibility in the eyes of people who were not very advanced to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never denied Parakiya Ras. He fully supported Parakiya Ras, as did all of the previous acharyas. But simply for the purpose of gradually giving less realized people a proper understanding of Radha and Krishna's divine lila, he also supported Swakiya Ras very. So Srila Prabhupada writes that unfortunately in Vrindavan and Navadvip it has become fashionable amongst sahajyas in their debauchery to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with to execute devotional service in Parakiya Ras. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported Swakiya Ras, and later all the Vaishnava acharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental Parakiya Ras, nor has any other Vaishnava disapproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted Jiva Goswami as one of his instructor gurus. So from this, Srila Prabhupada very, very carefully explains these accusations just to give us the understanding that we cannot accept anything anyone says about anything unless we understand how it is approved by the previous acharyas. There are so many things being said about so many people, about so many different philosophies, in so many places, we have all heard. Therefore, without approaching those who are well trained by the previous acharyas and referring to the teachings of them, we should not accept anything as being truth or fact. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful in this regard. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod, they were all very careful in this regard. Because there are many sampradayas, even in the name of Mahaprabhu, what to speak of in the name of Radha and Krishna, that are unauthorized, tinged with Mayavad, tinged with Sahajism. How do we know? There's only one way to know, by seeking guidance and blessings from senior Vaishnavas who understand the essence of the true teachings of Rupa and Sanatana. Otherwise, there are so many books that say so many things. How do we know what to accept and what not to accept? Without the guidance of a bona fide guru in a bona fide parampara, we cannot understand what to accept and what to expect. We can accept things innocently, and in the process we can be unconsciously blaspheming previous Vaishnava charges, blaspheme our own parampara. We could be influenced by Sahajism or Mayavadism, even knowing it, imperceptibly. Therefore, without the blessings and the guidance of the previous acharyas, we should consider that whatever we do is full of great, great danger. And Srila Jiva Goswami, by his infinite causeless mercy, he has presented to our parampara such systematic understanding of the absolute truth that all of the acharyas that we have that have followed him have just worshipped his works and just simply elaborated on that. By following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, we are on the sure, perfect path back home, back to God. So on this very auspicious day of the appearance of Srila Jiva Goswami, we should pray unto his lotus feet. We should pray unto his lotus feet that we can forever follow in the footsteps of his beloved descendants in this most precious sampradaya that we have been so kindly initiated into. In fact, Rupa Goswami prays that without receiving the blessings of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, no one can understand in truth the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. And without receiving the blessings and praying for the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, no one can understand in truth the true glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada personally taught us to pray for the mercy of the six Goswamis.